Thanks, Wendell. It's either this Sunday or next Sunday is what they call National Children's Sunday. I've seen a little bit of conflict when I was looking it up. But I wanted to focus this morning more on the children and more on what we can learn from the children, because Jesus had a lot to say about the little children. But there's another passage in 1 Corinthians 13, which we know is the love chapter. And Paul, in there, in verse 11, he says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me." So this morning, what I'm going to share on is not on this verse. We have to understand that Scripture does not contradict itself, so if it seems to contradict itself, it's because you just don't understand it, and I just don't understand it. But I believe I know what the Apostle Paul was telling us here, that as people, as we mature, as men, grow up, be men, be women, and be mature. But then Jesus had much to say about the little children. Children were very near and dear to the heart of Jesus. And according to what Jesus said, they must also be near and dear to our heart if we're going to have any chance of making it to heaven. Or if we're going to make it to heaven, period. And I had to think, as I was studying the many children that are out in the world around us that are neglected, that are misused, abused, it's not fair. They've done nothing to deserve that. And I'm proud to say that here in this congregation that there's a number of you who have taken it on yourself to take in these little ones that, for various and sundry reasons, were taken out of the home that they were in. But Jesus, as he was on this earth, he had compassion for the children. And the thing that I've noticed, especially with children that come out of abused homes, you don't have to do a whole lot for them. You don't have to do a whole lot of anything for them when you first get them, especially, till you really make a huge impact on them. They just soak like a sponge anything you do for them because they were neglected. So this morning, I want to look in Matthew chapter 18, and I think Jeremy's going to have it up on the screen there, and it'll be Matthew 18 and the first 6 verses is I want to just look at briefly this morning. We won't go real deep into it. But it was the chapter. Of course, there was no chapters and verses, as you know, in Scripture. But just previous to this, Jesus was transfigured. And then you had some of the different things happen there in chapter 17. And in verse 8, chapter 18, right, the first verse, it says, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And we know that the disciples earlier had also done this, and they asked these questions, and it was like, well, surely it's me. I mean, wouldn't be John, it wouldn't be Tom. I mean, look what I've done. And I don't know what the motive was for the disciples in this point, but they did ask that question. And it says, they came to him and asked, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The next verse says that Jesus called a little child, and I'm going to take a little aerial here. And it says, Jesus called a little child, and he had him stand right there with him. He was right there in the midst of them. So it was as if Jesus maybe took that child even on his lap. And then he spoke. And he had the people's attention. this child that he had as this child right here. She's not putting on any airs. She's not out here looking at y'all and feeling all shy. She's not feeling like she needs to impress you. She's not feeling any of those things. She's 100% innocent of and oblivious of you out there. Verse 3. He said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you change, King James says, or be converted, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, Jesus had this little child sitting there with him. And so they had a real object lesson, a real live object lesson, to watch how that little child responded. Just like she's responding here this morning. She's not putting on any air. She's not trying to impress anyone here this morning. She's just going to be who she is. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Again, let's focus on this little child. Jesus said, whoever does that, you will be the greatest. Dear disciples, here's your answer. Watch this little kid. Watch this little child, and you will have your answer. Verse 5. And whoever welcomes this little child, a little child like this in my name, welcomes me. That's where it comes down to it, to where we look out for the little children. We look out for those that haven't had the opportunity to be in a stable home. You can't go wrong with that, brothers and sisters. Verse 6. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be easier, or it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And there's not a one of you here this morning, as I hold her here, and you imagine that somebody would abuse her, that somebody would physically harm her. There's not a one of you here that there's not something that just hugely would rise up within you. Just the very thought that someone would take a young, innocent child like this and to harm her in any way, shape, or form. That's what Jesus said was how he felt. He went so far as to say, it would be better you'd be dead. It would be better you would have never lived if you dared do something to this little kid. And if you do, life is not going to be good for you in the hereafter. Jesus was serious about the little children. Jesus was serious about what he said in his words. This wasn't a time that Jesus was joking around. But he was out to make an impact, to make a statement. Thanks. About who these little children are and what they mean to him. So going back just quickly, a couple things in some of these verses. Again, we had the disciples, they asked, who's the greatest? And then Jesus said in verse 3, he said, except you be converted and become as little children. There was a two-step process what Jesus talked about here. You need to become converted or transformed, is another word. Or to totally modify yourself. To totally turn around. Go a different direction. You've got to do that. And then also, you got to become as that little child. You got to become as this little child sitting here. Is there any questions? Just watch. Are there any questions? Just watch how this little boy, how this little girl acts. That's how you're going to have to become. This is what Jesus was saying. Adam Clark said, unless you be saved from those prejudices which are present, unless you be clothed with the spirit of humility. Did y'all see any pride on little Dion this morning? Actually, she's a little Gordon. But she was clothed with humility. She wasn't trying it. It was just how she was. But he says, unless we have that humility, Adam Clark says, you cannot enter into the spirit design and the privileges of my spiritual and eternal kingdom. This is what Jesus would have been trying to tell us. God's kingdom is heavenly. His subjects are heavenly minded. And those of us that are on the way to heaven, our country is heavenly. For we are strangers and we are pilgrims. We're foreigners here on this earth. But how many times do you act like you really belong here? How many times could anyone look at you and say, boy, you look strange. You look like you don't belong here. Boy, we don't like that, do we? That's what Jesus called us to be and to do. Adam Clark always said it, to be as truly without worldly ambition and the lust of power as little children are, who act among themselves as if they were all equal. And they do. It is said that the poet Sadi said this, that the hearts of infants being free from averse are avarice. What care they for a handful of silver more than a handful of dust? Again, let's read it. The hearts of infants being free from avarice, what care they for a handful of silver more than a handful of dust or a handful of dirt? The word avarice, I did not know what that meant. I will tell you. It means a strong desire to have or to get money. You will not see a little kid striving to grab and to get money. It means nothing to them. You could give them a handful of gold dust or a handful of dirt. They're not going to pick the gold dust over there. They might pick the gold, but they're not doing it because it's gold. They're just doing it because that's the one they picked. Are we as little children? Whoever humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5 says, and who receives even one such little child in my name receives me. Jesus' heart was for the children. We can't go wrong for caring for them. And in today's world, when you see the abortion rates, you see what's happening, it's like, God help us. Why is God not coming down and just throwing some serious fire? I don't know. But we talk about the Holocaust with the Jews, with Hitler. That's nothing compared to what we're having today with the Holocaust of these so-called fetuses. Our world is a warped, perverted, evil place to live. Anything else that is not a human is not called anything like a fetus. It is called the little animal what it is while it's in the womb. But people have the gall and the nerve to call this human, breathing, living thing inside a mother's womb a fetus. And something that can just be discarded because I have a choice. God help us. What can we do? What should we do to care for these little ones? And each one of us, we have a part. And that can be different for each one of us. In verse 6 where he talks about offending one of the little ones, I think Jesus was talking again about this little one that he had beside him. But I believe also he was talking about those of us that would cause someone to stumble, whether it's that little one by harming them or whether it's someone who is maybe a young believer and you are failing them and you have failed them because of the way that you live and you conduct your life. And he uses the millstone analogy again there. God expects us to watch and to learn from the children. And I've got a list of several things here. It's not near all inclusive. And if we'd have more time, I would give you a chance to even input into this. But I'll go through some of these and then you can think about it and the next days add to it as you like. But what are some things or ways that we can, or some ways that we actually must learn from children? One of the things is that we fight, and we will. Emerson pointed out in the Sunday school this morning about that. But we are quick to forgive and to let go. Not so much talking about y'all here. I'm talking about the little children. But we have to learn from them. The little children, they will fight. They will squabble. And they will quarrel. But they're so quick to turn it loose when it's settled. And they do not hold anything. They don't carry it on to the next day. And shame on us. So many times we do. Because you were way more wrong. You were way more wrong than I was. And until you come back and you make your things right, don't even think about me changing. We're wrong when we do that. Last night, Diane and I were in town, and that very thing happened. And she was the one that apologized first. And it was simply a fact of saying, should we go over here first or should we go over to this store first before we eat? And you look back, it's like, it's crazy, it's stupid. But Satan gets in there. I thank God for a wife who loves me, and she also loves the Lord. And she's sensitive to that. And she even beat me to the draw on it last night. Going on, we live a simple life, loving simple things. Again, the heart of a child. Is that really you? Is that really me? We don't place a high value on money or possessions. We probably better move on from that one. Because for us as men, for sure, what is it, the first thing we talk about after I ask you if you've got any work? A lot of times it has to do with money or the lack thereof of what I think I have. We are quick to give of what we have without thought for tomorrow. Are we? Am I? Are you? A young child is. They don't hold it for in store. They'll give everything they have without any thought for tomorrow, with reckless abandon. But we so often, we take on these little sayings that God expects us to be responsible people, and He does. But I think so many times we fail in that of helping and giving when the opportunity is there, because we don't know that we might need it tomorrow. We don't try to make someone think that we are something that we're not. Did Adele do that? No. She didn't care you were out there. How often do I put on this false pretense? You know, we can have this thing going on between husband and wife, between employer, employee, it can be between brother, sister. And you meet somebody 2 seconds later, like, oh, hey, how you doing? A child will not do that. They're going, if they're grumpy, if they're grouchy, they're going to go ahead and be grumpy and grouchy to the next person they meet too. It's just how it is. But we want people to think well of us, even to the point of putting on a mask. We are quick to let some know when we hurt, and we allow others to comfort us. How often have I failed in that? How often have you failed in that? And I'm saying that when you're hurting, your brothers, your sisters in Christ should see that. They should sit up and take notice. They should be that close to you. But how quick are you if there is something that you're really hurting in? Could you just call? I mean, don't even take the time and the chance that maybe somebody will call you or ask you about what's going on. But you just go ahead and you make that phone call, or you stop by and say, you know what? I'm just hurting. I just need help.
Because, brothers, if we don't do that, if we don't do that, Satan will use that for an advantage. As he will say, yeah, this church that you go to, yeah, they say they care about you, but what do they do for you? Look how you were suffering and they didn't do anything. Don't let Satan do that. Doesn't excuse us as brothers and sisters in Christ to be looking out and be watching. We need to do that. But for us, these little children, when they have a need, when they have a hurt, when they have a pain, you will find out about it. It's not that they're trying to be ugly about it. It's just, they're just transparent. We are grateful for anything that others do for us. Anything. And again, going back to using the foster children as an example that have been neglected. Anything you do for them, they just soak it in like a sponge. Well, there's many other things that we could go into on that. Many other points besides those seven. And we won't take the time this morning, but you can fill in. But Jesus in Matthew 19:14 said, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Again, Jesus telling people, don't you disallow these kids to come to me. I want them. I want them to be a part of who I am, and I want them to be a part of my life. And then in 1 John, there's several verses, and I never thought of this before, but you notice in John, he uses the word little children a lot, and I'm just going to read these verses that pertain to that. And I think it would have to do with, except you become as little children, you will have no part in the kingdom of heaven. And so John here says in 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." 1 John 2:13, "I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father." 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know it is the last time." 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed of him before, and not to be ashamed before him at his coming." And 1 John 3:7, lastly here. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Oh, there's two more yet. 1 John 3:18. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is in he that is in you than he that is in the world." I think John was onto something. I don't think it was just happened that it says little children. So we have to remember there's that two-step process to reach the kingdom of heaven. That is, we must be converted. We must be transformed by Jesus Christ. And then we must become as a little child. It is paramount. Jesus said it. And like Emerson said in the video here, that he stakes his claim on Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus said, I'm going for it. And wherever Jesus is going to be, that's where I'm going to be. We must settle that and then go forward from that. I'm going to have the children, if you would, come back up here again. I've got just a little bit of time with you that I want to share, and then we'll get on out of here. All the children want to come forward. And you can maybe just sit up here on the... front benches here. Is there room up here for the... y'all can just sit right along up there and sit.
Hey, bye-bye.
Y'all can sit around here too. Am I on? Okay. You can sit right here, Bri. Want to? Right? You can sit right there. Gracie, you want to sit here? Yeah. Here, you can sit right here. You want to sit right there? Okay. All right. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about candy. You've got this candy bar here. Pretty good stuff. Who wants this? This candy bar? It's got a big bite out of it. Totally wrong response. You really don't want this. This has got gross germs on it. I bit off of it. Do you people not feed your kids candy? Well, you can't have this one. Let's forget about the candy bar right now. This candy bar represents your heart. God wants your heart. Do you think God would be satisfied if this is your heart, if you would give this to Him? Why? It's part of it's missing. Do you know God wants our whole heart? The Bible says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, you can put your hands down now. I tell you what, if y'all listen real well, I might have something for you at the end here, okay? Oh, so sit down and listen real well here, then we'll be done. Can you say this with me? Can you say this with me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I think there's another verse that says, and with all your strength. That's a commandment. That is the first commandment that we have. And then the other one is that we are to love our neighbors. But the first one is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Every part of ourselves. So that means when we love God with everything, we don't think of anything else. We don't even want to do anything else except to love God. We don't want to do anything to hurt anyone else. We don't want to... Trayton, come over here and sit down. Okay? Because we know that it makes God sad if we're mean to our friends, doesn't it? And we don't want to do that. So that's why God, He wants our whole heart. He will not accept just a part of us. Okay? Doesn't that seem selfish of God? That He wants to have everything of you? Come here, Gracie. Should I hold you? Can I hold you? Why? But God wants every part of us, not just a part of us, okay? But it seems kind of selfish, doesn't it? Because sometimes it's like, we want to just do what we want to do. But you know what? It never works out when we do what we want to do that we end up being happy. God knows what will make us fulfilled in life, and that's what He wants us to be, is to serve Him with everything that we have. Because if we just serve Him with part of it, He will not accept us. So just like this candy bar with the bite out of it, if that's our heart and we'd offer that to God, God'd say, no, you can't have it. She's determined to get that thing. I've got another one for you, Renice. Oh, my. So, just like you didn't want this half-eaten candy bar, God will also not accept half of your heart. Okay? All right. I've got something for y'all, and then you can... Oh, all right. I tell you what. Why don't we stand for prayer? And then I'll hand them out to you, and then you're dismissed as I hand them to you. Thank you all for listening this morning. Let's be real quiet as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us. We thank you for each one of these young children up here. God, I pray that as they grow up, that they would be men and women that would want to give their whole heart, soul, and mind completely to you. God, would you move through us as your people this day, this week? Help us to serve you in an unselfish way. Help us to realize and to think of how we can be like little children. Dismiss us from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.